1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 28. Go ahead and stand with me, please. 1 Samuel 18, verse 28. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Tonight I'm going to preach on David and Michal. And Brother Klein, just for the sake, I love giving Brother Klein a hard time on these titles, you know. So I had a title picked out. It was a couple of couples that had a couple of problems. And I don't know if he would, you know. And I thought about, technically, see, David had, you know, several wives. So it could have been a couple of a couple of a couple of couples that have a couple of problems. But I wasn't going to do that to him. It doesn't fit on the web page, so we're not going to do that. So let's just stick to couples of the Bible. We're talking about David and Michal tonight. David and Michal. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight as we study his word. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I do pray, God, that you'd please just give me the words to say, Lord. Lord, you've communicated. You've spoken to my heart. You've given me a message that, Lord, does have truth. We've got a Bible story to study tonight. Lord, it's written in your word. But there's a truth in it that I pray that we would just go away getting. Lord, I do pray for my voice, and I pray that I would say the right things, that, Lord, you just help me to communicate this in the proper way, and give me the words to hear, to speak, and, Lord, give the people the ears to hear, and I pray that we'd go away having learned the lesson tonight from your word, and that we learn the biblical truth from this Bible couple, and I do pray for our pastors who preach this tonight in another church, in another place. Thank you for this opportunity, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it appears from this passage of Scripture, if you go ahead and look back down there, we're going to be right here. We're going to go, it's pretty much chronological. We're going to flip to a couple passages of Scripture, but right here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at what happens. David and Michal get married. Now, this is a Bible couple, somebody we can learn from. And if you'll notice there, and you look in verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became his enemy continually. Look at verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Now, if you think about that, in the context of this Bible couple, this couple seems to have it all together, right? David's got a wife that loves him. He's got a Lord that's with him. His name is well known. He's behaving himself more wisely than all the other servants of Saul. So, you know what? This would be their couple that when you look at them, you think, that they got it together. You know, that's a couple. That's a man who serves God, man who serves his king. His wife loves him. I bet everybody knew that. I bet you could see that. The Bible says specifically multiple times that she loved David. So when it'd be the couple that if you walked in and saw them in church together, you'd think, boy, those two love each other. You know, and you know, boy, he's a hard-working guy, and he's got such a good wife. And this is one of those couples where if you just read this part of the Scripture, that's what you would think about him. But the truth is, and we all know, we're very familiar with the life of David, aren't we? David is one of my favorite Bible characters. We all pretty much know what happened in David's life. And we're not going to talk about his faults and failures tonight. We're just not. We're going to focus tonight on Michal, his wife. Because this is the couple that we're focusing on. And actually, I did call it a couple of couples that had a couple of problems. We are going to mention, I'm not going to mention all of David's wives. He did have a few things and issues and things that happened later in his life. And we're not going to go into all of the detail on all that. But let me just say, God doesn't advocate, as preacher said in this couple study, God doesn't advocate one man and four wives, right? He doesn't advocate one man and two wives. God set it up one man, one woman, one lifetime. So we're not going to contradict the Bible here in any way. This is just the fact that happened to David. He had more wife than one. And so we're going to leave it at that. But tonight we're going to look at Michal. Now, what happened in this relationship? Why didn't they live happily ever after? Why didn't they end up with the great relationship? I mean, it says there they loved each other, and it says there David's well respected. He's got it going for him. He should be happy, right? Well, let's go back, and we're going to look at just the life of Michal here. And as we look at it, we'll see the life of David at the same time. So let's go back to 1 Samuel 18:20, same chapter. In verse 14. chapter 18, verse 14. I'm just going to give seven little things about Michael, and each one I'm going to have some type of teaching lesson. Some of them are short, some of them are long, and then we're going to take an evaluation of ourselves compared to her and see how we are as a couple. What can we learn from this couple, this Bible couple, and how they behave themselves? Chapter 18, verse 17. Let's read. And Saul said to David, "Behold my elder daughter, Merib. Her will I give thee to wife, only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." So here we see Saul just offered who? Was it Michael? No, it was his oldest daughter, Merib. If you remember the story of David and Goliath, that we all know. David goes out, defeats Goliath. The men were promised, if you read the scripture, they were promised Saul's eldest daughter. And who was that? It wasn't Michael. It was Merib. And so why didn't David marry Merib? Well, we're going to find out here in just a second. Verse 18. And David said unto Saul, "Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king?" So David's already showing his humility. He says, you know, I know I killed Goliath, and I know you promised, you know, your daughter to me, but who am I and who's my family that I should be, you know, the king's son-in-law? And the funny thing is, he knew he was going to be king someday, you know, but he still has enough. This is the good thing I like about David. He has enough humility to say, look, I'm not worthy to be married into this family. You're the king. I'm just a shepherd. You know I defeated Goliath, but boy, after that victory, he's still humble enough to say, you know, king, who am I, you know, to marry this family? Let's keep reading verse 19. But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, didn't practice that one, to wife. Verse 20, and Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David. So here we see the first mention of Michael and the fact that she loves David. Keep reading. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare unto him. Now that's interesting to note there. Keep that in your mind. Michael did love David. I think David probably had ran into Michael a few times. You know, he's been in the camp there. He's seen his daughters. He probably thought she was attractive. He probably talked to her. But this is going to be more of a prize for defeating Goliath. Does that make sense? This is more of a contract, okay? This is a king giving his daughter away. But notice the very reason Saul is giving Michael to David. He's giving her to David so that she can be a snare to him. And I wonder why that is, but we're going to find that out here in just a second. So verse 21, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. So you got to marry both of them. You know, you couldn't marry the first one. I gave him her away. So now you're going to marry the second one. Verse 22, Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. So he's sending people in to talk to David into marrying Michael. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? So he's still humble in his approach. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. Verse 25, and David said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hands of the Philistines. So now he's going to marry him to his daughter. If David makes it to the marriage altar without dying, which is what he wants, okay, he wants David to die in this battle. He says, okay, all right, David, I know you're poor. I know you're a shepherd's son. But here's the deal. If you go ahead and you kill these 100 Philistines, then I'll let you marry my daughter. So man, doesn't this seem a little bit wrong to you? I mean, if you think about it, David just killed Goliath, right? And he didn't get the first daughter. He probably didn't want her anyway. Not that she was a bad lady, but it just seems like he wasn't super enthusiastic about marrying either one of them. But then all of a sudden, Saul comes in with another deal. He says, okay, all right, I know you're poor and you're kind of refusing to marry my daughter because you're poor and you don't feel like you're worthy. So let me just have you go prove how worthy you are for my daughter. Now, this is a funny time because, you know, she marries David. But how many times has your father-in-law looked at you and said, all right, go kill 100 Philistines and you can marry my daughter? You know, that's pretty rough, you know, marriage requirement there. But, you know, it's there. So number one, I want you to see real quick before we continue this story. Number one, Michael did love David. She did. It says it right there. It says it more than once. Why wouldn't she love David? This guy is strong, athletic. I mean, he killed Goliath. You know, why wouldn't she love this guy? You know, he's handsome. She probably was a little envious. You know, I don't know if this is how it worked. We can't tell in the Bible. But I have a feeling that, you know, when Saul offered his oldest daughter Merib, maybe she kind of watched that and was a little jealous, you know? Maybe she had, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe she kind of set this other guy up and her older sister so that she could marry David. I don't know what's going on in this gal's mind, but the truth is, I bet you the whole time, as soon as she sees David, it was one of those things where she loved him, you know? She loved him. Now, we're going to find out why, though, in just a second, but it seems to me that who wouldn't love David? He's athletic, he's young, the Bible says he has a good countenance, fair to look upon. You know, he is, you know, Mr., you know, athlete of his day. He's the guy to, you know, the eligible bachelor, if you will, but he's that, and she loves him. But let me just point something out real quick. The first thing we need to note about David and Michal is this. There's no mention of David loving her, necessarily. This is a contracted marriage. There is no, and this is important, there's no mutual thing that they love drawing them together. You know, Pastor talks about God drawing you two together and God's will. But listen, if there were young people in here, I'd say this. Be careful about nothing that David and Michal shared was together. They didn't love each other. She loved him, and I'm sure he had feelings for her. I mean, he knew he was going to marry her, right? And I'm sure he came around to it. I'm sure their marriage was fine at the beginning, but the truth is, it wasn't based in a love for God. It wasn't based in a love for God. She loved him, I think, for his physical ability, his skill, him killing Phil. He was a champion. I mean, who wouldn't love him? He was going to be, wait for this, the next king of Israel. Don't you think she knew that? Okay? So I think Michal, according to the Bible here, did love David, but there wasn't, we can notice, there's nothing bringing those two together in the right way. There's no love bringing them together for God. Now, you're supposed to, you better love the person you're marrying, amen? I mean, if you don't love the person you're marrying, there's something wrong in your marriage. But the truth is, before you love that person, you really ought to love God. Both of you ought to love God. So, if I can point out real quick, lesson number one about this relationship, I don't see that they both loved God and then loved each other, okay? I just see that Michal loved David. Let's keep reading and see what happens. And so Saul says, go ahead, kill those 100 Philistines. Great, great offer for marriage there. 27, wherefore David rose and went, and he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. So he kills 200. And David brought the foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king that he might be the king's son-in-law. And David gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And here we enter the part where we started, okay? Verse 28. You know, number one, we see Michal loved David. Number two, we see she marries David. She does. She goes through with it. She doesn't just love him and leave him. She doesn't just, you know, desire this young man. No, they do get married, okay? This is official. In verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Now, that's a good place to stop. I wish we could just stop it there and cut it off and say, hey, David became king. Michal was his wife. They lived happily ever after. But it's not the case. It's not the case. And if it was the case, we wouldn't be able to learn the lessons we're going to learn tonight about this couple. Number one, Michal loved David. Number two, she did marry David. Okay, she did. Yes, it's an unusual courtship. It was more of a deal. All right. Not often does your father-in-law come to you and tell you, go kill 100 guys and you can marry my daughter. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should do that. You know, whoever wants to marry Chloe, that would get me in trouble with somebody, I'm sure. But do notice this. David didn't just kill 100. Okay, this shows me he did care for her a little bit. He went out and said, psh, I'm going to kill 200 for this girl. You know, I don't know if that was his attitude or not, but man, he didn't just kill 100. He went above and beyond. It showed, you know what, he did care for Michal. He did love her. There was a mutual affection between the two of them. But it doesn't keep going. It doesn't end there. In fact, this is the sad part of this. This family is a mess. You know, Saul is a mess. His daughter, all the family members here, they get into a mess, and all kind of starts with the dad. If I can, you know, just warn you here, warn myself here, do you realize where this is coming from? The problems we're going to see later in this marriage starts with her dad, Saul, who was a selfish king, one who God rejected, okay? And it all started with the dad. It did. And he rubbed off, honestly. He didn't rub off on his son, Jonathan. You notice if you read the life of David, David and Jonathan had a great relationship. Jonathan stuck it out for the Lord. He knew who was the right king. But we're going to see that we're not going to see that in Michael's life. So number one, Michal loved David. She married David. Let's look at Samuel 19 real quick. We'll get through this story here and we'll give you some application. Samuel 19, same chapter right next to it. Verse 10, we're going to see that she delivers David. Okay, this is her love in action. And Saul sought to smite David into the wall, verse 10, with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, so here's his wife, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So she's warning him. You know, she knows her dad's out to kill her husband, and she's going to warn him. So Michal let David down through a window in verse 12, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed. Now, I don't know what image that was. I really don't. You know what? Actually, if you kind of study that word image, a lot of times it refers to a statue. So I'm not sure what kind of statue this was. I don't know if it was a false god. I don't know if it was just a statue of, you know, kind of like a portrait or something. But she takes an image. And so she puts it to look like him or his head. I don't know if it was a full body statue. Just come on. Kind of think outside the, you know, we're not thinking outside the Bible, but we're trying to imagine what was this image. You know, things like that come to my mind. My mind's weird. So when I read that in my devotion, some days I'll go, what's an image, you know? But anyway, so she puts this image in the bed to look like him. Okay, and the soldiers come, if we keep reading the story, and they, you know, basically, let's go ahead and read it. Michal took an image in verse 13 and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick, you know. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed. He goes, I don't care if this guy's sick. I want you to carry his bed in here, okay? I want to see this guy, that I may slay him, okay? Verse 16, and when the messengers were coming, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul, this is her dad, says unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he escaped? Now notice this right here. We know she loved David. We know she's married to him now, but we're going to start to see her problem. We're going to start to see her attitude developing here. What she married David for. We're going to start seeing these things surface in their relationship. Let's read it, the rest of that verse. And Michal answered Saul, and he said unto me, or Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? So all of a sudden, here's what we see. A woman who loves her husband, loves him enough to save his life, but then when the pressure comes, when daddy comes over there, and she's just like her dad in a lot of ways, if you want to think of it that way, he puts the pressure on her, why in the world did you let this guy escape? Now listen, think of the two kids here that we know about. We know Jonathan, right? And we know of Michal. Both of them had a chance to help David, didn't they? Jonathan openly proclaimed his love for David, his care for David as the right king, basically stood up to his evil dad in this case and said, no, I'm sparing David's life. He did, okay? Michal, as soon as that pressure comes from daddy, as soon as the worldly, we'll think of it as the world and the spirit, we know that Saul was not destined to be the king forever. David was. As soon as that pressure came on Michael's life, you know what she did? Oh, he threatened to kill me, you know? Do you realize she's making excuses? Now, she sacrificed she put her life in danger. She loved her husband. But who's it for? Is it for her husband or is it for her? It's for her, all right? She has a selfish, very, just like her dad in a lot of ways. She has a very selfish outlook on life. She did love her husband, but who is that love for? Is that for her husband or is it for her? Well, right here, we start seeing things surface. It's not for her husband. She helped him. Yes, she wanted him alive. But all of a sudden, we see her. She delivers him, but she makes excuses about it. So this is her attitude chart to show. So we see she loves him. She married him. She delivered him. Let's go on real quick to the rest of the story. She forsakes David eventually. The truth is, this is the sad part of their relationship. This is the last we hear of Michal for a few chapters. But if you skip over five chapters to the 25th chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 25, David is now a fugitive, right? He is running from Saul. This is where he cuts his skirts and he's running out in the wilderness. He's living out there. He's got his rebel army, basically, you know, all the people who were trying to escape Saul. He's kind of like the Bible Robin Hood, basically, okay? He is, you know. I like the story of David for that reason. He's a neat guy. He has an interesting story. But here he is out living in the rocks and he's out escaping Saul. And where's Michal during this time? Well, she's back at home. She's back at the palace. And the last thing we hear of Michal and David, she makes excuse to her dad. Well, you know, he threatened to kill me. Well, this is all sending the wrong message to Saul. And all of a sudden we find in 1 Samuel 25, verse 44, the last verse of the chapter, we get this story of Abigail. All right, David's out. He's running away from Saul. We get the story of Abigail, which we'll get to in just a second. But in verse number 44 of chapter 25, we see one thing about Michal. But Saul had given Michal his daughter, David's wife. She's married to him. She's married to David, okay? To Phalti, the son of Leish, which was of Gilim. So she is married to one man, and she gets given to another. Now, let me just say, that's not what God's plan is, okay? That was an unholy thing that happened, but it came from a selfish king, right? And it came to a selfish woman that we can see. But let me just say something about the story, and it doesn't really say a lot here, but David escapes into captivity. He lives who knows how long before Michal, his wife, gets given away to another man. But you know what I want you to notice and think about Michal? Why is it that she didn't go after David? Why isn't that she... You know, if you read the story, David marries two other ladies in this story. He marries Abigail, okay? He takes another... Now, he's following the heathen tradition of multiple wives, which is wrong. But the story about Abigail is pretty neat. And I thought about tonight comparing the two of them. We just didn't have time, and I just didn't feel the Lord wanted me to do that. But I do want to say this about ladies. If you want to see a lady who in David's life was the right kind of wife, go look at the story of Abigail. Her attitude was right. Her approach to David was right. Everything about what she did. She didn't, by the way, when she saw, she was married to a wicked man. If you read the story of Abigail, she's married to a very wicked man. In fact, an unsaved man, if you study the scripture. The Bible says, a son of Belial. That's a term for somebody who's just not saved. Okay? Did not honor God. And she's married to this man. She has the proper attitude. If you want to see a lady who I thought about teaching on tonight, but just go research it yourself. Go look up the story of Abigail in light of this story about Michal. But all we see about Michal is she didn't want to be with David. She had that choice. She could have escaped with him, couldn't she? You know what I noticed about Michal? She needed all the frills and the things of the palace. She really did. She needed that, you know. She wasn't going to have a fugitive's life. She wasn't going to be a fugitive's wife. Now, let me just say, young man, young lady, once you get married, that's God's will. Especially young ladies that are in here, wives that are in here. Listen, where your husband goes, you go. You do it, okay? It's part of the Bible. He might not be right with God. He's married two other women by now, okay? That's between him and God. But you know who she should have gone with? Her husband. She should never have had this other relation with another man. She should never have been given away by her dad. She shouldn't even have been there. But you know what? She needed all that extra stuff. I've sensed in Michal a very selfish nature. She needed the frills of the palace. She needed the fancy servants. She needed that. And we're going to find that out in just a second because David's going to become king again and something else is going to happen. All right? But we see that Michal, she's very selfish in her nature. I wrote down here that her marriage was conditional on the materialistic and the circumstantial. Her entire marriage was based on how much can I get from it and what are the circumstances. If I'm getting a lot, but David's a fugitive, I'm not going that way. Okay? All right? So her whole marriage is based on this materialistic philosophy. Let's think about that today. What's your relationship like? Your marriage relationship like? What's my marriage relationship like? Is it based like Michal? Would I forsake my wife for something materialistic? Or maybe even not. Let's not go that far. I mean, let's all assume that we'll stay married and do what's right in God's eyes. But what is your attitude like today? Do we have that attitude that Michal had? Because that's part of her problem. She's got a big attitude problem. It's all about her. It is. It's selfish. There's no room in our relationships, any relationship in life, for that selfishness that she has. Everything is conditional, and what can I get? How about your church relationship? Is it conditional on what can I get? How about your work relationship? Is it conditional on what I can get? Okay, let's think about that for just a second. I mean, do you need God because you want to be with him? You know, she started out loving David, right? Okay, she started out, maybe she did start with the right attitude. I don't know when this happened, but the truth is, at one point she loved David because she loved him. And at another point we see him love David and then save herself. And then another point we see her love David and not go with him. Okay, so what kind of relationship do you have in your life? Is everything in your life based on that type of materialism, that things that I can get, that selfishness? Okay, do we need God? Do we love God because he loved us? Or do we just like what he gives us? Protection, blessing, prayers, answered. How about your church family? Do you like being here at church because you love our church? Or do you love the preaching of God's word? Do you love our pastor for the preaching that he gives us? Or do you like the social life? Or do you like, you know, and those are all good things. I'm not saying they're not. But let's be careful that we don't get this Michael attitude, all right? This Michael heart condition that says, I want what I can get out of this. Because if I live like that, I found this out, and I'll do it again, I promise. We're all sinners, right? We all go through times like this. What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? Instead, it ought to be Brother Joe said it this morning. What can I give? What can I give? What can I give? If Michael and David had lived giving to each other, they wouldn't have had this problem. And I don't know, I know it was arranged marriage, but they could have got out of that problem. That was something they had to overcome in their marriage, all right? That problems are going to come. Yes, her father hated David's guts, okay, wanted to kill him. But she could have found a way around that. She could have gone with him. She could have had the what can I give him mentality instead of the what can I get from him mentality. So let's make sure we got that in our life today. So she forsook David for that reason. Number five, she was restored to David eventually. All right, let's go over. This is where we'll turn our Bible to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, real quick. We're almost done. 2 Samuel, studying the life of Michael. She did love him at one time. She did. She had the wrong attitude, though. She forsook him eventually. And we're going to see what's going to happen in their marriage. We're going to take a break. For a while, they separate, obviously. She doesn't go with him. He fights his way through a lot of things. Eventually, though, Saul and Jonathan die, okay, when we enter 2 Samuel. So 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 12. So here we have David's finally ready to become king of not just Judah and Israel, not just Judah, but also Israel. He's going to become a king of the whole thing. All right, this is a big moment in David's life. He's going to be the king. This is his best time in life right here. But let's notice what happens here. And remember, Michael's married to another man. David's just coming out of captivity. He's going to come back and be a king. Let's see what happens. Verse 12, and Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, who's in the land? Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. So he's going to help bring the kingdom together. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee. This is David speaking. That is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along weeping behind her to Barum. Then Abner said unto him, go, return, and he returned. That's kind of a funny picture if you think about it, okay? Abner, the big tough war general, goes to get Michal from her husband. Do you hear Michal weeping? No, okay? I think she loved David, and I think she despised him. She had attitude problems. But let me tell you what Michal was probably thinking, okay? She's thinking about that queen again. She's thinking, oh, now David isn't just this guy who's hunted. David is king. Does that show you a little bit about Michael's attitude here? She's going to go return to David because he's king. All right? He's got all those frills again, and this time it's bigger. All right? He's not being hunted by her daddy anymore. And there's no weeping happening when she leaves. But think about that picture, though. This other guy is weeping behind her, because she's leaving. So this is a heartbreaking lady right here. You don't want to be married to her, okay? But, poor guy, But I can just imagine Abner saying, go, get out of here. You're pathetic, man. Get out of here. So I don't know. I don't know how that worked. I don't know if Abner probably smiled as he, walked away or whatever. But it's pretty funny if you think about it. But either way, here's what we see. Michal coming back to David. But do you notice the attitude differences here? Michal, there's really no mention of her attitude. But she's also not unhappy to leave this man she's been married to go back to David, like I just pointed out. But notice something else. David wanted to restore her. David is a very good picture of what God would do for us. Listen, we go off and marry, we go off and sin. We go off and do something that, against God's will. We go off in an unholy union. And guess what? David was still willing to restore her as his wife, as his queen. Don't you think he kind of knew her attitude? I mean, he knew she was materialistic. He knew that. But he loved her. Somewhere in his heart, he found that he wanted her as queen. He made that a condition of him being king and Abner helping him. He said, you bring me Michal, my wife. Now, I don't think this was based in any sensual thing at all. I think, honestly, David felt sorry for her. David realized her heart condition. I think he wanted to give her a second chance. And that's just a wonderful reminder of God's love for us she is restored. He could have left her there. He could have left her there. He could have been done with her, but he wanted to restore her. There's no mention of remorse, though, on her part in leaving. She's ready to be queen. Number six, this is the worst part of the story, but we do have to go to it. Flip one page over if you're in a Schofield Bible. 2 Samuel 6:13. This is the saddest story of David and Michael, and it's the last story we hear of both of them. And this is where I really want to drive our point home. We've noticed this attitude that's developing in Michael. We've pointed these things out from the Bible. Maybe you've never thought about it quite that way before in her relationship with David. But let's read this story, which I'm sure you're somewhat familiar with. Verse 13, let's read it. Chapter 6, verse 13. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord, had gone six paces and sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sound of trumpets. So they're all out there praising the Lord for this. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place and in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David burnt offerings and peace offerings as before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. So he's blessing these people. Notice the next verse, verse 19. And he dealt among the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the woman as men, to every one a cake and bread and good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Here's verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. David is coming home from a spiritual experience, not just to bless the people of Israel, but he's going home. And he's getting ready, notice what it says, to bless his own house. That's what he's getting ready to do. He just got done praising the Lord for all this and blessing the people. Now he's going to get ready home and have a spiritual experience in his home. I don't know if his wives were all there. Obviously, Michael wasn't at the celebration. But the truth is, he's getting ready from a spiritual... It's like, you know, he's getting ready to come home after a revival meeting. And his wife somehow couldn't make it or chose not to come. And he's getting ready to go home and bless it. Verse 20. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." That's so sad, isn't it? As soon as he gets ready to come home and bless his house, she meets him before he gets in there. And with sarcasm and criticism in her voice, criticizes the very king of Israel, her husband, in front of him. After he just had a spiritual experience, he's getting ready to come bless his home. The worst thing I could imagine, let's just stop right here and think about this, folks, in my life and in your life, the worst thing you can do for your spouse, the worst thing you can do for your children, the worst thing you could do for a church member of yours is when they are spiritually blessed, for you to somehow have sat on the sidelines, watched it happen, and in your mind, instead of encouraging them, I mean, at least say nothing. At least just let it happen. I mean, if you're not right with God, at least let them be. But instead, you know what she does? What's wrong with you? You were out there dancing in front of everybody as one of those vain fellows. Criticism in her voice. And this is a very sad story. Let's notice what David says. And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord of Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and I will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Folks, this is the end of the story of Michal. She's mentioned again in the same story later in Chronicles. But let me just point this out. Boy, let's just think about that for a minute. David's on a spiritual high. His wife, he comes home to criticism, to someone who's not willing. But you know, worse than that, he gets home and he's ready. And then, do you see his explanation? He goes, I can just see him with sorrow in his face. He wasn't expecting that. I don't think he was expecting that. He comes home and she goes, "What's wrong with you dancing out there before the Lord?" You know, he wasn't even thinking about that. It never crossed his mind that he was dancing before the... You know why? Because he was doing it in a right way. Let me just say that for a minute, please. Okay? This isn't the kind of sensual dancing that we see today in churches on the platform. All right? That's wrong. You hear me? That's wrong. Okay? The day that we get a dance team up here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the day Pastor Jerry's probably dead and somebody's got it messed up. Okay? I'm telling you. All right? The day that that shows up in a church house is wrong. But now listen. This is one of those moments where it's, praise the Lord. I don't know what he did. I don't know. Obviously, he looked like he was dancing. And obviously, he might have, taken off his suit coat, you know, taken off some of his dignity, his royal kingly robes. And doesn't it just show you the fleshly idea of Michael? Well, you made yourself look like just one of those peasants out there dancing in the street. Well, you made yourself just look like one of those. You didn't look like the king. Do you see what she's looking at here? The outside appearance, his appearance. Now, I don't know. You know what? It'd be different. If he was over there showing himself, I can understand a wife looking at her husband saying, you're mine and you're not supposed to, you know, show your muscles off like that. Okay, I can understand that. All right? But that's not her attitude here, folks. She's criticizing her very husband. And I can just see David's face. He goes, it was before the Lord. This wasn't for these people. This was for God. And I'm doing this for God. And that's what he said. And I can only imagine the sorrow on his face when he heard that. It was kind of like the end of their relationship. It really was. Because if you read the rest of the passage, he basically humbles himself and says, I will dance before God. I will praise the Lord. I will make myself not look like a king. I will get on God, on my face to God, and I will humble myself before him. That's what his attitude was. Hers was not. Let's read the rest of the story. It's there. And it was so that when they bear the ark of, or I'm sorry, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. When I was reading this, I did grab Preacher's book. He's reading one about Jack Treber wrote, Couples of the Bible. I hope you get that. I hope he makes it available to you in the end. But we see that she did all these things. She loved David at first. She married him. She delivered him. Boy, she goes through trouble. She forsakes him. She was restored again to him. Here we see she despises him. It's all wrong. It's all wicked. But let me tell you, in the end, you know what happened? She lost David. She did. She lost David. That was the last verse that we ever see about her. She never had children. Okay? The Bible talks about her raising her sister's children. And the truth is that happened before she was, you know, at this point in her life. Okay? She didn't have children earlier with David either. Okay? And David did have plenty of children. It wasn't, you know, and so he did love his wives, and he did have plenty of sons and daughters, and he loved them. But let me tell you something, and this was interesting. I was reading that book, and in that book, Brother Treber mentions that he says, look, all this other stuff, this rebellion, this criticism, it's all side stuff. It's all side issues. Even the selfishness, it was a side issue. You know what her problem was? She never accepted. In his book, he presented the thought that she never accepted that she couldn't have kids. In that day, it was a wicked... He just threw that out there. He said, look, she probably never accepted... Why would it mention that? Why would it mention that? She never accepted that this was God's will for her life. She was David's wife. She was to go with David wherever he went, whether it was fugitive or king. And then she wasn't going to have any children. I don't know if God would have given her children. But the truth is, her selfish attitude never accepted God's will for her life. That was the root of her problem. She had a root problem. What's your root problem tonight? What is it that's keeping you from praising the Lord along with your husband or wife? What is it that's keeping you from serving God like you ought to? Do you have a root problem tonight? You know, we want to come in and we want to blame all these other things. She could have blamed a lot of things. Boy, David, he married Abigail. Why would he love me? You know, she could have blamed a lot of things. Well, it was just Daddy's fault. Daddy wanted to kill David. No, it wasn't, okay? It was her fault in her heart. She had a root of bitterness, a root of selfishness, a root of not loving and accepting God's will for her life. Boy, it's important that we accept God's will in our life. There's some things we just got to accept, okay? She couldn't change the fact that her daddy didn't like David. She couldn't change the fact that David was in captivity and fugitive from Saul. She couldn't change any of that. The only thing she could change was her heart. And so let's learn a lesson about Michael. She had a relatives problem. She had a rebellion problem. She had a ridicule problem. David tried to reason with her. She wouldn't listen, okay? But in the end, it was all a root problem. She had a root problem, something that kept her from truly loving her husband, from truly serving God. Is there a root problem in your life tonight? Maybe it's just an attitude problem. Maybe it's just some of those things that she was dealing with. Maybe you're not giving, you're getting. All right. If that's your problem, you need to fix that. If that's my problem, I need to fix it. The day I start getting too much, I try to fix that by giving a little bit more. Does that make sense? Make sense? We need to do that. We need to do that in our marriage. We need to do that in our church with our kids. We need that in our life. That's how we get to be like David was. That's how David gave himself to those people. David gave himself as a king. That's why he was dancing before the Lord. He gave of himself. Boy, that's exciting. But listen. Michael had the wrong attitude the whole time. And she never fixed her root problem. How about you today? Do you have a root problem? Only you can admit what it is. Do you base your foundation of love on the right things? Or are you outward-minded like Michael? Husband and wife, is your love for God what it is, what is still keeping you close together? Or are you like David and Michael when they started out? Her love wasn't based in a God love. It was based in a physical love. Okay, it was based in a what I can get love. Do we as church members, do we enjoy this aspect of the service here, the spiritual side of things? Michael didn't enjoy those things, okay? When the Ark of God came, she wasn't out there praising the Lord for it. She didn't enjoy the spiritual aspect. Which person are we like today? Are we the opposite of what Michael was? Or are we just like Michael in a lot of ways? Sure, I'm a guy and she was a girl, but you know what? My attitude can match hers in a lot of ways if I'm not careful. Get the proper attitude. That's the first thing. If you take anything from this, boy, your attitude's important. Boy, your outlook on life is important. Your spiritual mindedness is important, okay? If I'm focusing on the physical, eventually, guess what's going to happen? My marriage is going to disintegrate, okay? So what's going to happen? If all I'm focusing on is the physical, what I can get, the material things, okay? You know, eventually, you know, Michael didn't have any kids, but you know what? If I'm focusing on me, I'm going to start despising my children if I'm not careful. You know why? Because it costs a lot of money to have children. All right? It does. And if I'm a selfish dad, guess what's going to happen? My children are going to suffer for it. If I'm a selfish teacher, my students are going to suffer for it. If I'm a selfish, you know, preacher, the people are going to suffer for it. It doesn't matter. Selfishness never leads to anything good. Get the right attitude. And then pull those roots up. You got something in your life that's sticking in there, okay? Stop using a weed whacker to whack the tops off. Get down there and pull that root up. Okay? Even if you want to go a little farther, stop using weed killer to kill the weeds. They're coming back. Don't give me that. All right? Get the root up. Get it up. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness. We need to pull those things up today. Are we like Michael today? I want us to be like Abigail. I didn't preach on Abigail. I wanted to. Didn't end up doing it. There was too much about Michael. But listen, hey, be the right type of Christian. Be the right type of husband, the right type of wife. Not like this sensual, physical, selfish relationship that Michael and David have. Let's have the proper attitude. Let's get those roots pulled up. Get those attitudes fixed. Let's come to church for the right reasons. Boy, I'm encouraged by that. Lord, help us this evening. Help us to, Lord, have the right attitude. I do pray, God, that, Lord, just something that was given tonight would help somebody. Lord, I don't know that any of us have any serious problems in here, serious roots of anything. But Lord, we all are sinners. We all have a root of sin in there. Lord, the truth is, until we get to heaven, until we have the right body and the right mind in you, we'll never truly get rid of all of that. But Lord, we can try. Lord, we can stay spiritually minded. We can stay focused on the things of God. Lord, just focus on the will of God. Help us to just stay faithful. Lord, I do pray that Lord, you just help us to have the right attitude. Lord, we don't want to be like Michael was a good young lady in a lot of ways, but Lord, she just started having the wrong attitude. I pray that the young people in this church, the young adults in this church, the senior saints in this church, that we'd focus on our attitude. Are we getting or are we giving? Lord, are we focused on spiritual things or are we focused on carnal things? And Lord, do we have any roots that we need to pull up today? Help me to examine myself, not just tonight, but this week. And Lord, I pray that we would live a righteous and clean life before you. In Jesus' name, amen.